I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're all about the Archers. I'm Philippa.
And I'm Quentin.
We are here. I am thrilled about this. We are here to talk to John Telfer, who plays the wonderful and much troubled Reverend Alan Franks. John, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Yes, welcome indeed. Now, John, Alan's BBC Archers official biog reads, "Not everyone's idea of the classical rural vicar. Ex-accountant Alan is a mover and shaker. Good looking, good humoured, and an original thinker. Some of his more quirky schemes have occasionally raised the eyebrows of his more traditional parishioners. So I put it to you, John, is Alan the archetypal trendy vicar?"
Well, I don't think he is. I actually got a lovely email from a vicar who's saying, "I think Alan is the perfect parish vicar, country parish vicar." He said, we should all aspire to being a country parish vicar like Alan. Well, we're obviously doing something right. I was given the spec for the character when I did my audition. He's a northerner, dead wife, you know, mixed race daughter, blah, blah, blah. Odd accountant, was a lay preacher, and then decided to take up cloth once his wife died. And I got all that, but I had a very good friend of mine for many years in Bristol is Canon Neville Boundy, who was the sort of spiritual advisor to the Bristol Old Vic Theatre Company. And he was a great mate. I've known him longer than I've known my wife. And in fact, he's even mentioned in Judi Dench's biography, because when she was doing Macbeth with Ian McKellen, there was such apparently a palpable aura of evil created in that little studio theatre that she said, "This vicar used to sit in the front row several times a night, holding up a crucifix, and it was Neville Boundy, you know." So, but he is very scatologically word. I certainly couldn't use his language as Alan on Radio 4, because I wouldn't be able to get away with it. And people say, "Vicars don't talk like that." Actually, they bloody well do.
John, I don't know if you know, but Quentin and I interviewed Stephen Fry a couple of years ago about his love of the Archers. Oh.
A hero.
And we asked him if he were to play any character in the Archers, what character would he want to play? And he said he'd want to be your bishop so that he could record some very interesting scenes. How would you feel about that?
I would love it. I'm a huge fan of Stephen Fry's. I mean, many years ago, Tim Bentinck, who plays David, who is another very old friend, and I've known him as long as I've known my wife. Tim, when you could find people's email addresses just in the early days of email, you just went online, you put Stephen Fry, and they say, gave you his email address. And he got in touch with Stephen Fry because it was the time when Stephen Fry had some sort of terrible stage fright thing where he had to leave the stage. It was all in the press. And Tim wanted to say, "Look, I really feel for you, you know, as a fellow actor, and I'm really sorry." And Stephen Fry was very touched, and they got in touch. And Timon at that point still had his seat in the House of Lords. He's since been one of the ones who've been whittled down. Mm. And so he had Stephen to tea at the House of Lords. Yeah, he's a lovely, lovely guy. And I, as I say, I'm a great fan. Maybe I should try and get in touch with him as well.
Be good.
Now, this is an issue that we all wanted to know about, John, because time is past since it happened. But can you now tell us what the obscene word was that George painted on St. Stephen's?
Well, yes, I can. I can. It can't be mentioned on Radio 4, but I'm sure I could mention it here if you want.
Allude to it. Philippa will have palpitations. Yeah.
The C word. The C word.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah. Yeah. Robert Titchener is a...
Right. Right. Has that been washed, John?
It has been washed off. I've saved the script, though. I've saved the script because it's the only time I've ever seen it in a Radio 4 script ever in all my years, you know. And I've been doing radio since 1977 in one way or another, Larry Blaze and stuff. I've never ever seen it written in any script apart from that Archer script.
Wow.
So it could become, who knows, Antiques Roadshow in 30 years' time. It might be worth a fortune. Who knows?
Well, it could be as valuable as Diego Maradona's shirt, you know, Hand of God shirt. Isn't
it? Yeah, was it? How much that went for a fortune, didn't it?
Millions. Yeah, millions.
Can you understand why? I always think, sorry, this is probably the vicar part of me, I suppose, but I always think, if you've got that much money, why don't you go and build a shelter for the homeless or something? We're wasting money on a bloody football shirt. I think it's obscene. I'm sorry, I really do. I say, I'd really like to get one of those new £1 million Bentleys. No, go and get yourself a Seat and go and put the rest of the money into good causes.
Yeah. Yes.
I can't wait to win the lottery. I've had a raft of things. I want to do something in Bristol. I live in Bristol. I want to do something in Bristol like they have at St. Martin's in the Fields in London, where they have a wonderful setup for the homeless. Because I did the song. I wrote the song with Clive Haywood for the 2015 fundraiser for the BBC and St. Martin's. Went out as saying 2015. If your listeners want to hear it, it's called I See You. And it's me and a scratch choir, including Mitch Benn and various newsreaders and Archer's characters. Rob Titchen is there. Felicity Finch, who plays Ruth Archer, all singing in the choir. And they've got this fantastic setup where they've got a whole room of massive washing machines and massive dryers. And people, the homeless, who they bed down there, they can come in and wash their clothes and dry them so they get clean clothes. If they have to go to a job interview, they've got donated suits and ties and trousers and smart shoes and things. And it's fantastic. And there are doctors and nurses on hand. And of course, it costs a lot of money. But my God, fund something like that in every city.
Yeah. I think you should get ordained, John.
Oh, no, it's all right. I should be a politician, actually. There you go.
Well, talking of Alan, we really need to talk about the various crosses that Alan has to bear, from Peggy in the window to trying to rescue the bird and
bloody
smashing
Peggy.
It.
I have to say, I'm thrilled. I think the quality of the scripts has been fantastic in the last few years. I mean, I know, and I've known Jeremy Howe for many years, the editor. I used to work with him when he was a BBC producer of radio drama before he became commissioning editor for Radio 4 and stuff. So we go back many years. And it seems to me that the quality of the scripts is fantastic. I thought all of the stuff that we were getting with the problems with the church funding and Peggy withdrawing the funding and all those sort of things were terrific. And it was what a joy working with Jasper Carrot. What a joy! Who's playing Sykesy?
Sykesy.
He's one of my comedy heroes.
He wasn't as funny. He wasn't as funny at the Gagriculture show as Jakob, was he?
No, that wasn't he funny? And Jakob is now. We were laughing about this. Has now got this sort of the Archer's moniker as the sexy man of Ambridge.
When absolutely.
When I was saying to Usha, I said, I mean, Jakob, he's just so boring or something like that. And she said, not everybody thinks like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's got a lot of fans. He's got a lot of fans amongst the fans. But just picking up on something you just said just now, I was going to ask you, as Alan, but perhaps as John as well, which character in Ambridge would you like to see the back of? I'm thinking Peggy.
Who would I like to see the back of?
I'm thinking Peggy.
The thing is, as speaking as Alan, I wouldn't like to see the back of anybody, really. I was quite glad to see the back of Rob Titchener, because I thought he was... Oh, yes. Rob Titchener's father, actually. He was absolutely horrible to his son, both his sons. Yeah. And I thought he was beautifully written and beautifully acted, but not an attractive man. I'd like to bring back people. Mike Tucker. I'd like Mike Tucker to return.
Yes.
And his lovely wife, the actress who played his wife, I thought she was one of the best actors on the show. I mean, it was a disaster for them to go. But that's not my call.
I've got to push you though, John. Is there anybody you'd like to see the back of?
Only Rob Titchener's father.
Not Peggy.
No. Peggy is a sort of. She's allowed. She's 100, for God's sake. She's allowed to be a bit crotchety. I mean, she was. She was awkward when Usha and I were married, and she didn't like us, the Buddha or whatever it was in the hallway. Get on with it. Do you know that when we did that, there was the Church of England, someone at the Church of England, the Archbishop's office, got in touch apparently with the BBC and said, "Do you really think this is on? Having a Church of England vicar married to a Hindu?" And and the production team were able to say, actually, we did a bit of research on this, and it's based on one of your own vicars in the parish of, I can't remember where, who is married to a Hindu. And they went, we didn't hear any more about that. No.
carry on. Yes.
Carry on.
So, John, you had to do the funeral for someone who had been a silent character. Was it Ted? And you had to do quite a long funeral for him recently when Sykesy came along for that.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, I was bewildered that there was this whole service for someone that we hadn't heard of at all.
We do that a lot, don't we? I mean, it was like Fry's wife never appeared. Appeared. She just died in the flood, and then we had to grieve over her. She was never in the show either. There's some rather sexy woman who's a pain in the neck somewhere in the village. I can't remember her name now. Who keeps interfering in things, and he's not a character either. Very strange. It was just an opportunity to get Sykesy's jokes in, really. I suppose.
Are you referring to Sabrina Thwaite?
It could be Sabrina Thwaite. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. With a name like Sabrina, you think of Sabrina was a female sexy icon, wasn't she? Sabrina, something like that.
But she has been totally silent, hasn't she? Everybody wants to hear from Sabrina.
Totally silent for a while. Yeah. No, I know. We need to hear more from Sabrina, I think.
We do. I'm curious, what does St. Stephen's look like in your mind's eye? Paint a picture for us, as Alan.
It's a little bit, I suppose, because I mean, so many... stuck my head in so many country churches. I haven't really settled on how old it is. I think it's probably 15th century, something like that. So it'll be sort of miniature Gothic. It's little wooden pews, except we wanted to get rid of those at one point and put chairs in. We did, didn't we? Get rid of the pews and put chairs in. That was a big sticking point with Bushes, eh?
Knowing Alan, probably, yes.
Well, you know, originally churches had sort of concerts and things like that in them, and people had political meetings in them and all sorts of things over the centuries. It's just the Victorians who made it all very closed in. Ooh. Yeah, it's quite a small nave. There's a tower, of course, and some lovely stained glass, some of which I broke with my stupidly climbing up the ladder to But apart from that,
I didn't think it needs another stained glass window, John, maybe with Saren and Nova on mentioned in it.
God, dreadful. Dreadful names. Why does nobody have real names anymore? Like John and Quentin and Philippa and things like this. I mean, Sarah and Nova. God, Bennett. There should be a law. Yeah. Isn't there a law in France against it? You can name people names. I think it's in France or Germany. There's a law that you can't use silly names. They have to be on an approved list.
Well, as long as Alan continues to resist this dreadful stained window, that's the main thing.
We hope. You've talked about some of the scenes that are memorable to us, John, that Alan's been involved in, but when you think back, I mean, 20 years you've been involved now as Reverend Alan. What are the real standout moments for you personally?
I really liked the drug story that I did very early on about the drug addict Luke, who came to live at the vicarage. And I wanted to get a drug rehabilitation centre in the village. and there was some opposition, and I had to bang the table and get angry at one point. And that, I mean, it's Tom George was the lovely Luke, who played lovely Luke, and that's where I met him. We became friends, and he was absolutely terrific. It's really strange when you're doing, I'm sure other cast members have talked to you about this. When you do auditions for the Archers, you generally, we used to, I don't know, I think they probably still do now, but there was a period when they didn't. You audition on tape, as it were. You audition a scene, you have a scene with a cast member, especially written, and they listen to it in the studio, the producer listen to it, and everybody comes in. And you hear lots and lots of good people really doing this. So I was the help for the audition for Tom George as the drug addict. And there were loads of really good actors coming in and doing the audition. Tom George came in and did the audition, and suddenly there was no contest. Mm-hmm. You know, I sort of went in, talked to the producer, and she said, oh, he's got to be the one. You know, it's really strange. There's a sort of certain thing about it that you get. And I was lucky enough. It was lovely Angela Piper, who played Jennifer Bridge, who I auditioned with, as it were, when I was doing my audition in 2003. And she was just lovely to work with, yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talking of auditions, John, I'm Graham Lockie, who played Robert, was a GP in real life.
Yes, he was.
And he famously auditioned to play a GP in The Archers, and he was told he didn't sound sufficiently like a doctor to get the part. I take it wasn't the case with you, with Alan.
Well, no, apparently it was, I don't know. I accidentally, when I went to the audition, I wore a black T-shirt and it had a little sort of white bit on the neck. And my wife said, that's really clever.
That is.
I realized. No, they didn't say, because you were chatting about something which was non sort of ecumenical, not like sort of Father Ted, an ecumenical matter. So I think it's a, because just before me, they'd had Moy Leslie, who'd been a female vicar, I think. But they decided to bring in a motorcycle riding, leather clad, you know,
ex-accountant.
I don't ride motorcycles. Ex-accountant. Yeah, I know. You know, so do you know someone actually phoned into the BBC once when my motorcycle, which had been mentioned, roared off into the distance. And they said, excuse me, but that's not actually a Triumph TG5. You'll find that is a Yamaha 350. It was like the exhaust sound. You think, for God's sake.
I can believe it.
It's true.
It's cheeky of us to ask, but can we just hear your voice of Alan? Because your voice is quite different to Alan's voice.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of Alan. Alan is a light Yorkshire, so I flatten everything down. When that is the story of the audition, is when I was being auditioned and they said, we want a light Yorkshire accent for him. I said, well, actually, I'm from North Yorkshire. That's my native accent. From Middlesbrough, so I can talk like that if you like. So that's how you talk up there. And they said, no thanks, we've got one of those already. Click Felicity, who plays Ruth, was actually brought up originally. Her accent is an amalgam of Redcar, which is where she was brought up as a young girl. And then her family moved to Newcastle, all around that area. So she's got a sort of an amalgam of Teesside and Geordie. So they said, no, we don't want Teesside. So I ended up doing a slight northern accent, which was very different from, you know, one of my daughters who talk like that, you know, from there. She's really that flat sort of thing she's from Barnsley or something like that. So, you know, we were talking, I always had a sort of light accent, going, yeah, that like that, yeah. Well, I like that. I tried, James and I, who plays Harrison, We always tie. If we ever get a scene together, we say, "Oh, it's the Northern." You know, he's from the West. He's from Cheshire, and I think I'm listening to it. I think I don't know who's who. We sound very similar.
Talking about your voice, you've done everything, proficient on TV, radio, but also you are an audiobook narrator, including Anne Cleese books, who we've had on because she's a huge fan.
Yes.
I did one Anne Cleese book, which was set in my native area. It was the first time it wasn't a Vera. It was another detective. It was the first time, I think, apart from one line somewhere, when I'd ever used a Teesside accent or a further northeastern accent in any audiobook. And I said, I found her email address via the publisher and said, you know, this is wonderful. I'm really grateful to have this book. It's fantastic. I was rather hoping that she was going to recommend me for Vera, because I keep telling my agent, get me a part in bloody Vera, because doesn't she do well? I mean, there's what's-her-face playing Vera, who's not from that area and doing a superb accent.
Brenda Blethyn.
Welsh, isn't he? Brenda. Yes. But she does this fantastic Geordie accent, you know, North Shields, like, you know. I was very lucky to get that Anne Cleese book. I've only done one of hers. I mean, the accents are a joy and sometimes a curse to try. I mean, Liverpool, I'm pathetic at Liverpool. I've got to work really hard on the Liverpudlian accent. Birmingham, I can do it because I spend a lot of time in Birmingham, obviously with the Archers. Northeast is fine. Some Scottish accents are fine. My mother was from Inverurie in Aberdeen, near Aberdeen, and my great-uncle Wooly Grant was the postie. So I've done a few David Donaghy books, which is there's a sort of Scottish hero in there and various Scottish voices. And also, you know, you have I and many other actors, you have an all-purpose East European accent, which does for Polish, Czechoslovakian, Ukrainian and Russian. But everyone talking like this, you know, you all sound like sort of mafia Russian villains. But, you know, who knows?
You may not have got a part in Vera yet, but I mean, you were in Bergerac for 4 seasons. So,
four seasons, 5 years altogether. Yeah.
DC Willie Pettit. Do you still get stopped in the street and said, oh, you're in Bergerac?
Well, I mean, actually, we finished in 1991. So, what's that? 33 years ago. Wow. It was the last Christmas special we did in 1991. And yes, someone actually did stop me only the other day. I said, I know you. How do you recognize me? So, you know, the hair's disappearing, mate. Yeah, that I do. And I still see John. John's a lovely, lovely man. Lovely. Become a great mate. And we sometimes go on holiday together, my wife and him, his wife.
Oh, lovely.
Really nice.
Lovely.
Can we just talk about Amy? Because she's not on that that often, but the affair with Chris Evan, what do you hope for Amy?
I hope she comes back to Ambridge.
Yeah.
So she's just lovely. When we text each other, I always text her. I always, you know, text the actor. I always sign it Dad. Because, I mean, I think she lost her father and she just sort of became almost a single parent child with her mother. And her mother died recently. So very, very upsetting for her. And she's a lovely, lovely woman. I mean, this is my third daughter. And ridiculous. I mean, the first daughter, I'm sure tell tales to her, was called Natalia Keary Fisher. You never heard this, people. You're not listening to this. He was also a rap artist called Verbalicious, who appeared on Top of the Pops, you know. And she was let go in the phrase eventually, because she just keep turning up late for recordings. And she came in one. It's like I came into a recording session once. We were sitting in the green room and everyone was looking at their watches and she wasn't there. And they said, where is she? And I said, I'm not her real father, you know. And then she turned up. Practically 3 hours late. You know, we've all done it, because sometimes you're booked for an episode in the middle of the year. And even if it's in your diary, you sometimes, I mean, I got a call once. I was in bed having a cup of tea. It was a Saturday morning and the phone rang and they said, hi, it's the Archers. I said, oh, hi, hello. And they said, you are coming in for the 9:15, aren't you? And I went, leapt in the car and drove to Birmingham. Well, I got there with about an hour to spare before the end. We did all the scenes. No one had to be delayed or anything. And I was just distraught, because it's the worst thing you can be ever. But the rest of them said, oh, don't worry, we've all done it. She turned up. This is my first daughter, turned up at one recording session and said, with a minute to spare before the end of the show, and she went, oh, my driver couldn't find the M5. She'd been doing some gig somewhere. My driver couldn't find the M5. Oh, yeah. Yeah, really. Yeah. Yes.
Dear.
So that was goodbye, Natalia, actually. Well, too often.
Nottingham's just down the road from me, so I'll look out for Amy and send her your best when I bump into her.
Bless her.
Yeah. We'd like to see her back.
I would as well.
You mentioned music just then. Because are you still heavily involved in singing and composing and music generally?
I'm heavily involved in singing. I sing with the Bristol Choral Society with my wife. But we're prepping Verdi's Requiem at the moment, which we're doing with a peace orchestra. Wow. In the middle of March in Bristol. And I stopped. I used to front a Bristol rock band called AFGM, formerly known as A Few Good Men.
Yes. Have you stopped that now?
Yeah, 2012 or something like that. We worked all the time. We rehearsed solidly every Sunday, whether we had a gig or not. And I was missing my children's upbringing in all sorts of things.
Well, your real children or your fictional children.
My real children, yeah, the real ones, yeah. And I was, in the end, it just got too much. But I miss that very much so. I mean, fronting a rock band. But also, yeah. I mean, fronting any sort of band. I did front a big band as well before that, back in the 90s, occasionally called the Veronica Big Band. And I tell you, standing in front of a big band in your suit, singing Sinatra standards with those wonderful orchestrations, those Nelson Riddle orchestrations blaring behind you, it's a bit like going to heaven for me, anyway.
Yeah. And do you still compose?
I do. I'm not. Actually, I am sort of working on something at the moment with another writer, a lyric writer. It's quite tricky. So you've got to get a sort of match of getting on with each other and finding your way around lyrics and things like this and how they work musically. I've done a lot of work with the Shakespeare Tobacco Factory Company, but that's now defunct. And loads and loads of theatre stuff and a musical, which we're still trying to get back on the road after some years. It was very successful back in 2004 in the London Fringe, but we never got a major production. And we're still trying to get a major production on the ground.
You blessed us with a bit of Alan. I mean, feel free to give us a bit of Frank Sinatra if you want, John. But I mean, it's...
No, probably not, Brad. Come fly with me, come fly, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me. Never mind. No.
Fabulous. I just wanted to ask you what your hopes are for Alan in the future.
Well, I hope, of course, to still be the Vicar's.
Yes.
I mean, Vickers do eventually retire, but I'd rather not be retired to the BBC, thank you, because it's a lovely, lovely show, a lovely group of people to be part of. I don't know. It was Peter Leslie Wilde, who's one of our directors, our producers, when we were at a very sad occasion, actually. We were at Ian Pepperell's funeral 2 or 3 weeks ago, and a lot of us were there. And it was at one of these woodland burial centres, and it was just so beautiful, this place. And Peter Leslie Wilde said, "Hey, we should have a woodland burial centre in Ambridge. You know, you could run it." And Philip Molloy, Terry Sun, who plays the other Grundy, you know, Will, the one who plays Will, he could be the groundsman. You know,
yes.
And Jeremy said, "You opportunity." But I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do. There's more need. Looking at the news, there's more need for more community work by churches. Take part and do things in the communities. More need for food banks and for community hubs and music and, you know, gagriculture and all that sort of stuff. I would hope that we could sort of move. I think the strength of the character is in the fact that we are in a village and a community of people, and it's the pastoral side, the pastoral care side of the character which interests me. I'm not interested in the religious side myself. My personal John Telfer, me. It's the pastoral side that I like, the way they interact with the community. And working with wonderful Suad Farris, who plays Usha, who's just such a good actress. I mean, she's fantastic. So it's always a real joy to be working with her and with her, and the other people in the cast who are also bloody brilliant, you know. So more pastoral care. Yeah.
Okay.
So we come to the last question, John, which is one given to us by the last cast member we interviewed to ask you. The last person we interviewed was Daisy Badger, who plays Pip. Her question for you is, what is Alan's favourite hymn?
Bloody hell.
That's not in the hymnal, actually, John, that one.
Jerusalem. Jerusalem.
Excellent. Wonderful hearing
all about your extensive range of different sort of performances and characters and all that you do, and particularly to talk about the Reverend Alan Franks, who we love so much. John Telfer, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank
John.
You. Thank you, Philippa, and thank you, Quentin. It's been a delightful thing talking to you two. Thank you.
We'll be back next Tuesday. That's it from us. So it's a bye-bye from me.
And it's a bye-bye from me.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.